Expect to hear more in the months to come about who President Joe Biden wants to see serving on federal courts. Last week, he unveiled a list of 11 nominees of various ethnic backgrounds to serve as federal district or appeals court judges, including a potential U.S. Supreme Court candidate should Biden get the chance to appoint someone. Biden aides say another batch of nominees may be announced as soon as part of a steady drumbeat over the spring and the summer. We're talking about it now, and you can weigh in. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the direction of the federal judiciary? Has it become too conservative, or do you think it should be more conservative? How important is it to you that federal judges are made up of a wide range of backgrounds, or is judicial philosophy, what they say, priority number one? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Russ Feingold is a former Democratic U.S. senator from Wisconsin. He's now the president of the American Constitution Society. Senator Feingold, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be on. I'm actually on Central Time the whole last year in Middleton, Wisconsin.
Nice change. What are your overall thoughts on President Biden's nominees?
Well, at the American Constitution Society, we're excited because the whole idea for this organization was the realization that the federal courts were being captured by really ideological conservatives, often very young, in a way that was distorting the courts. And this list of 11 potential judges that President Biden has identified is exciting because it's diverse in terms of background, demographic background. There are African Americans, there are Latinx people and others. And in addition, there's some diversity in terms of the kind of lawyers these people have been. In other words, not just corporate lawyers or prosecutors, but there are four people on there who have been public defenders. So, you know, the point here that we believe in is if you go to court, you know, it's only fair that you should feel confident about who the judge is, and that sometimes the judge might look like you or the judge might be somebody who has represented your side of a case in the past and that kind of work. So this is crucial because under President Trump, things have gone very, very badly in terms of diversity. And the damage is going to be very long term. But this list from President Biden is the first major step in the right direction in a long time.
Do you think it's fair then to say that the idea here is to offset the conservative mark that former President Trump left on the federal judiciary?
You know, it's not just conservatism itself, which, you know, is perfectly legitimate. But in addition to most of these nominees being extremely conservative and very narrow in terms of their view of the law, partly because of the work of the Federalist Society, it's also a group of people that are really lack the diversity, lack the ability to really reflect the population of this country. So, for example, under President Trump, 76% of the people they put through were men, 84% were white, only one was Latinx, not a single one of the Court of Appeals judges was black. And so it's that's part of the problem. And also they were overwhelmingly people that had never represented plaintiffs in injury cases, people that had never represented criminal defendants, people that had never been, people that had worked in community activities of that kind. So we need to repair the federal judiciary in a number of ways. And things have gotten very seriously wrong, not just on the ideological ground.
President Trump won confirmation of more than 220 judges, including three Supreme Court justices. How big of a deal do you think that is?
Well, it's a big deal, and it's a very disturbing thing because it was done basically by breaking the rules. I was in the Senate, and I had never could have imagined the kind of thing that was done when Justice Scalia died. President Obama had won the election. Clearly, he had the right to fill that seat, and Mitch McConnell and the Senate refused to even give him a hearing. They stole that seat. And then they stole the seat when Justice Ginsburg died. Everybody knows that they did a rush job there right before the election. Instead of using the normal time that would be allowed to consider a judge, that should have been President Biden's nomination. And so they did the Supreme Court that way, and they systematically did everything they could to block every judge that President Obama had. So that's how they got the chance to do this, by breaking the rules and traditions of the Senate and the confirmation process. And so we're not recommending that Biden's people break these rules or the Senate, the majority Democratic Senate, break the rules. But The reality is that the only way to repair this is with judges retiring, taking senior status, and filling the seats the best that can be done in the coming weeks, because this was really a very brutal and unfair process that hopefully would not be repeated again.
You take issue with both of those nominations to the Supreme Court you just laid out. So is there one answer? Because, first Republican majority chose to delay bringing on a Supreme Court justice, and then they moved quickly. You say that both were wrong. So what is the right situation there?
Well, I mean, in the case of Scalia, there was basically a whole year left.
Yeah.
There was no excuse for not getting that done in a deliberative way. President Obama made a nomination. There was plenty of time, and there had never been a delay anywhere near that long. The longest ever, I think, was like 126 days for Justice Brandeis. This was essentially a year, so there was no justification for that. And then, of course, completely cynically and hypocritically, they did the opposite. Suddenly, in the middle of, right before an election, Justice Ginsburg dies, and instead of saying, well, we really can't do this in an election year, they rammed it through in a few weeks. So the truth is that both of those things were stealing a Supreme Court seat. And I can tell you that I would not have believed that either of those would have been possible in the Senate that I knew, and frankly, the Senate that Mitch McConnell was in, where I can't even imagine him having done that in the past. So it shows how extreme things have become. And frankly, it's done great damage to the United States Senate and to the confirmation process.
We're talking with Russ Feingold, former Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. As he just said, he's now the president of the American Constitution Society, and we're having a discussion about the federal judges and what happens next in the Biden administration after the president has released a list of judicial nominees. What questions do you have about this process? What do you want to better understand? Maybe you have an idea about how President Biden should handle this moving forward. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Here's what White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters the day that Biden unveiled his list.
Look, I think there is an incredible group of nominees the president announced today. As someone who served for 17 years on the Senate Judiciary Committee as chairman and ranking member, he has a long history on judicial appointments. This is a priority for him. But our focus is on getting the Senate to confirm these group of nominees and to continue to build a pipeline of additional highly qualified nominees who are going to reflect the values the president has outlined.
So what are the values that you're looking for in these selections then? You heard what Jen Psaki says are the values of President Biden.
Our value about this, the American Constitution Society, is that when somebody goes into the courtroom, that they feel like they have a fair chance. Hmm. And that means the judge needs to be somebody who, at least in theory, on some occasions, looks like them, or somebody who has actually had the opportunity to represent that side of the case. In other words, if the person you go in front of has always worked at a corporate law firm and has never had the experience of representing somebody on the other side of a corporate case like that, it's questionable. If all they've ever done has been a prosecutor and represented the state as opposed to representing a criminal defendant, that's a problem. And, of course, this has become a huge issue in terms of African-American and other communities in our country with regard to policing and some of the practices that go on there. So our value is that it should feel like fairness, it should feel like justice, and the people that were nominated here really reflect that kind of background. As I said, four of these people actually have been public defenders. Many of them have gone on to become top-notch, lower-level federal judges and have done many other things, but at least they've had that experience of being on the other side, and the courts are way too tilted in one direction to be balanced.
Among Biden's 11 nominees is Ketanji Brown Jackson for the U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia Circuit. She is one of three African-Americans on the list and currently a lower level federal judge. She's also considered a top candidate for the U.S. Supreme Court if Biden were to get the chance to appoint someone. What to you makes her worthy of consideration here?
Well, by all accounts, she's just terrific. We at the American Constitution Society are very high on her. We've had her involved with our programs over the years, and we know that not only are there are too few women of color who serve on our circuit courts to begin with, But the word on her is that she really is an exceptional judge who would be a great Court of Appeals judge and possibly a Supreme Court justice. And as we know, there's a good chance that that Justice Breyer may decide to retire at some point when President Biden is in office. And President Biden did say during the campaign that he intended to place the first African-American woman on the Supreme Court. So this elevation for Judge Brown Jackson would be very exciting.
And talk a little bit more about the idea of representation as we talk about Judge Brown Jackson, because she is, you know, a person who is nominated, who is a black judge, and how important it is that we have people who represent different genders and ethnicities as judges.
Well, it's crucial. And let me take an example from where we are in Wisconsin. So we're part of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, which includes Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. And, you know, that's got about 15 judges on it. And in the past, they had a black judge. But at this point, there's not a single African-American judge on that court out of all those people. And, you know, these are states that include Chicago and, you know, Milwaukee, Indianapolis, Racine, Kenosha, Gary, Indiana, you know, places that have significant African-American populations. And there's not a single person on that court right now who has that background. So that the New York Times noticed this, and others have pointed out that this is an extreme example of where there really isn't the balance. And Trump put four new judges on there, none of them representing this solving this problem. And so we're pleased that Candace Jackson Akiwumi has been appointed potentially to become the first African-American judge on that court for some time.
We're talking about the makeup of the federal judiciary and President Biden's nominees for the bench with Russ Feingold. He's the president of the American Constitution Society and a former Democratic U.S. senator. Your questions are welcome here on the Ideas Network. Email ideas at WPR.org. This conversation continues ahead on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina. We're talking with former Democratic U.S. Senator Russ Feingold. He's now the president of the American Constitution Society, and we're looking at the federal judiciary. And we've got Matt and Madison ready to join the conversation. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, hi there. I just have a comment, an observation. As much as one could view the rushing of the recent appointment to fill Justice Ginsburg's spot as in indecent play, it was still within the rule book as far as, you know, it's written right now. And so I would think that political players will become more efficient at using the rules to their advantage. And so I think that a real emphasis needs to be put on sort of rewriting that algorithm to perhaps try to build in what we think is decent rules. You know, in basketball, they used to sort of outlaw the dunk, or it was maybe looked upon as unethical. But then as everyone began dunking, it was became part of the game. You know, I think that far deep look at the algorithmic rule book is unnecessary.
Matt, thank you so much. And Senator Feingold, it sounds like, you know, Matt might be talking not just about the judiciary, but more broadly, you know, as a former member of the Senate, trying to decide what the rules are and being willing to honorably follow them.
You know, that was really a good comment, an interesting comment. He's right. I mean, the way in which this has been handled in the past has been essentially an understanding of fairness that applied to Supreme Court and other nominations and giving people the appropriate time or taking the appropriate time to do things right and not rushing things at the wrong time. But it wasn't formally written in detail in the rules. But I think he's right. It could be. You could put in the Senate rules, and this is something I've actually written about, you could put something in the Senate rules that establishes certain timeframes for nominations so that this kind of abuse can't happen. It's too bad we have to do this, but it's, you know, leads to the actual theft of the Supreme Court for a generation here because they're not specific timeframes in place. So I think that would make sense. Only the Senate can do it. The Senate is able under the Constitution to set its own rules. The court can't tell them how to do it. And so I think actually that was a very good comment, and it would be one way to help solve the problem in the future.
Yeah. When we're dealing with judges, do you see any of Biden's nominees having trouble being confirmed by the Senate?
It's possible. I mean, look, if a decision is made by McConnell and the Republicans to try to block somebody completely, in other words, not really give the Republican senators the freedom to choose to vote for the nominee, then they'd have to have every single Democrat plus the vice president. So if any Democrat decides that one of these nominees is a problem, that can make it impossible, because this is such a close situation in the Senate. My guess is most of these people will be confirmed, but I'd be surprised if they don't put up a fight. And we have to make sure that these senators don't denigrate the important work that many of these people have done as public defenders and others. The issue here isn't just the individuals. It's the principle that judges should reflect a variety of legal backgrounds and experience and not just be from one side of the coin. So I'd be surprised if these go completely smoothly, but I'm hoping that as many as possible do.
Yeah, it requires teamwork, though, in Congress.
Well, yeah, and we don't have a lot of that right now. And, of course, the Senate is so divided and this judicial issue is so contentious that it is going to be a very important few weeks, and they're going to be starting the hearing soon in the Judiciary Committee. And then I know the Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, is going to want to move these as quick as possible. But, you know, it takes some time.
Yeah. Senator Feingold, thanks for joining us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Russ Feingold is the president of the American Constitution Society and a former Democratic U.S. senator from Wisconsin. And we talked with him about President Biden's list of federal judicial nominees and why he says the bench needs more women and minority representation.